day, you're doing okay, and you let God take care of tomorrow. So praise the Lord for that. All right, we're in our Bible in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 31. And we're going to look at tonight, and I have a brief message, and I hope it'll be brief because we got the meeting tonight. But we're going to look at some final instructions that Moses gave to Joshua. And of course, Moses was the man of God. He talked to God face to face. He knew God in an intimate way. And he gives Joshua some final instructions here in chapter number 31. If you'll notice in verse 1, this is what the Bible says. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, to Og, kings of the Amorites, unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Now, verse 6, and this is where we take our text. He said, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. And God, as Moses imparted some great words of wisdom to Joshua and gave him some final instructions, and what great instructions they were instructions to live by, and they're instructions that we can live by. And though we may live in a changing world, in a dangerous time, and no one knows what tomorrow is going to bring, God, you still have it all under control. And the instructions that you gave to Joshua through Moses are the same instructions that we need in the day in which we live. Lord, bless the word. Help me to bring it, and Father, we'll thank you for all you're going to do, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight as we look at these final instructions of Moses, he's getting ready to die. He's finished his course. He understands verse 1 and 2. He's telling them, and notice what it says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You know, Moses had completed the task that God had given them to do. And thank God, he had finished his course. He had fought a good fight. He had kept the faith. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said before he was beheaded at the hands of Nero? That is what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. And the ideal of finishing right and fighting good and keeping the faith, how important is that? And Moses has given these final instructions to Joshua and the children of Israel. We do well to take the same instruction to our daily life because it's instructions to live by. And he starts out in verse number 6, and notice what he says. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Fear not. Boy, do we not live in a day of fear? If I could give anyone some good advice, my good advice to give to anybody, any child of God in the day in which we live is fear not. Fear not. Hey, God is still sitting on the throne. It doesn't matter what problems you're going through. It doesn't matter what difficulties you have. It doesn't matter if the doctor says you have cancer. It doesn't matter if the doctor says you have the most dread disease in the world. It doesn't matter if the IRS sends you a letter in the mail, right? This is tax season. Fear not. Fear not. Those are words to live by. It doesn't matter if your neighbor's cursing you. It doesn't matter if fear and intimidation on every hand. The Bible says, fear not. And that's a good place to stand. Because we live in a day when people are filled with fear. No doubt about it. I see people all the time and I just shake my head. They're walking around and I'm watching a guy cut his grass and he's wearing his gun while he's cutting his grass. And I'm thinking, are you really afraid you're going to get killed while you're cutting your grass? He just lives over there in Village Green. I know him and I know his children. And I'm thinking to myself, why do you got to wear a gun to cut your grass? Are you that afraid? I mean, my goodness. I mean, I have guns, right? And you may have some guns, but my goodness, I don't carry them around 24/7. people come buy parts for me all the time, and I said, oop, I left my gun in the car. I said, yeah, you better do something about that. Your little five-year-old's about to grab it, right? I mean, you got to think about those kind of things. I tell people all the time, and they'll get out of the car, the gun's laying in the seat, the kids are in the back seat, and I'm thinking, what are you thinking? I mean, we live in a day when people are so filled, and I mean filled with fear. And what did God give to the first advice that Moses gives to Joshua? He says, fear not, fear not. And I'll tell you, we live in a day when people are filled with fear. They're afraid of everything. And again, it shouldn't be that way. Was the future uncertain? Well, sure it was. The children of Israel, they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years now. Everyone that had testified to the promised land is gone, except for Joshua and Caleb. And they're going into a place they don't know. They're going into a future that's uncertain. But God said that he would be with them. And that is the most important thing, that God was going to be with them. The enemies were unknown. I mean, there were giants there in the land, and there were mountains, and there were walls, and there were kingdoms, right? Isn't that why the people were afraid to go in to start with? Isn't that why they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, because they were so filled with fear? And Moses commands Joshua and says to him, he says, fear not, fear not. You say, but the way is uncharted. Hey, life is a daunting task. And no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. It's uncertain. But the certain thing is that God is with us. If you look in the book of Joshua chapter 3, and this is what Joshua says there, in verses 1 to 4, Joshua 3, in verses 1 to 4, and notice what it says. Let me get my spot here. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. See, the way is uncertain. But see, the certain thing was that God was leading them. And that's the most important thing in life, to know that God is leading your path, and to fear not. Fear not. And Moses telling them, fear not. Now, again, we're living in trouble sometimes. Do we know that? We know that. I mean, North Korea could shoot off a nuke, right? Terrorists could get a hold of some sarin gas and let it off in the mall, or let it off in the school building, right? You know, terrorists don't play fair, right? When they want to hurt you, where do they go to? They want to hurt the kids. Because if they hurt the kids, they hurt you 100 times over, right? They practice that throughout Africa and the Middle East, and terrorizing children so they can terrorize parents. And we know we're living in those days. We know one day we'll hear of attack like that at a public school, and we'll see that kind of thing. But just because we're living in troublous times, and there's fears within, and there's fightings without, and the future's uncertain, but you know, it will always be like that on this side of eternity. Do you understand that? It will always be that way. Look in 2 Timothy. And why? Because God said so. God said that's the condition of this world. And there's going to be problems and difficulties and situations. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're here. We're in perilous times. We sang that song, Jesus coming soon. We're living in these perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort they are which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You say, what's the problem? There's problems. There's problems in the world. There's problems in the church. There's problems in Christianity. And what does the Bible say? Fear not. Fear not. There's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be disappointments. But the Bible says, fear not. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. That ought to be one of our life's verse. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God is still in charge. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You see, the devil loves to put people in fear. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You say, why? Because fear hath torment. And the devil uses it to make us doubt, to defeat us, and to detour us from God's work. You ever been so afraid that you couldn't do something? You know, many times I think people have gifts and abilities, but they get afraid. People get afraid when they're asked to teach a Sunday school class. People get afraid when they're asked to sing a special. People get afraid when they're asked to give a testimony or testify or do something for the Lord. You say, what does fear do? It paralyzes us. It paralyzes our faith, our actions, our growth. It freezes our walk and our work with God. It's a terrible thing. When we were in Trinidad, I think I've told this story before, it's true, but we would have to drive through the cane fields to pick people up at night. And during the daytime, the cane fields are not scary. But I can tell you at night, the cane fields are horrifying because the cane drapes over the road. And you're driving down this lonely road in the middle of nowhere where they find dead bodies all the time. They dump people's bodies in the cane. The mafia of Trinidad would do that. They would kidnap people, and if they didn't get the ransom, they would dump their bodies in the cane. They would burn out their cars in the cane. And then, not to mention that, you had all the evil spirits and all the witchcraft and the devil worship that was practiced back there in the cane. And you'd pick people up for church and it'd be time to take them home. And, you know, a full car is not terrifying. It's that empty car that's terrifying, right? Once you drop everybody off, and then you got to come back home through the lonely cane fields at night. And there have been many occasions I thought to myself, what in the world am I doing? Why am I out here in the middle of this cane field, in the middle of nowhere, where all these horrible things happen, where all the witchcraft and devil worship's taking place, and there's dead bodies out here, and everything you can think of is happening? And I'm thinking, my hair would stand on end sometimes. And I said, you are not going to paralyze me with fear. There's a work to done, and there's people that need to hear the gospel, and they live through there, and I have to take them home, and you are not going to keep me from doing what God's called me to do. You got to overcome your fears. You know, most of life is overcoming your fears. It's like when you have your first day on a new job. All right, on your first day on a new job, it's a very terrifying thing, is it not? Now, once you've been there for a while, it's like eating a piece of cake. There's nothing to it. But your first day can be pretty terrifying. You know, and sometimes it's like when boys are asking a girl out. That can be the most terrifying thing a boy ever has to do. Because of the fear of being told what? No. Right? And if you're always afraid of being told no, guess what? You'll never ask anybody out. Right? What do you got to do? To get married, you got to overcome your fears. That's just the long and the short of it. What does a woman have to do to have children? She has to overcome her fears of pregnancy and having a baby. And overcoming your fears is such an important thing. And so how much more is it in the Lord's work of overcoming your fears? You say, what are people afraid of in the Lord's work? They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of people laughing. They're afraid of being made fun of. Let me tell you something. You know, I learned this a long time. a long time ago, I learned this, that, you know, you get up and you preach a horrible message, you have to laugh about it. You get up and you butcher a song, and what do? You have to laugh about it. And what you do, you don't take yourself so seriously and understand that, hey, you know what? All God requires is that we do our what? Best. And if our best is failure, it's okay because we gave God the best that we had. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And it's overcoming that fear of failure, that fear of loss, that fear of humiliation, that fear of making a fool out of yourself. And what is God telling to Joshua? He said, listen, son, you need to overcome your fear. Overcome your fear. Notice in verse number 7, let me get a verse here real quick before we move on. But Psalms 56, and I love Psalms 56. These verses have been dear to me all my life because there's been many times I've been afraid of what God asked me to do, and yet God's still expecting me to do it whether I was afraid or not. And Psalms 56, and notice what it says in verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And if you'll skip on down there to verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. It's having a little faith, having some faith in God. And that's where we're going to next. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What do you got to do? How do you overcome those fears? It's by having faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without God, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Mark 9:23 says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And what it takes to overcome fear is faith. It takes faith. Faith in the face of fear. And you say, how do you exercise that faith? Well, you have to move forward. You have to move forward. If you look back in our text, in verse number 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now, what does he have to do? To exercise faith, you have to move forward in your life. Now, in life and in all things, if you're standing still, you know what you're going? You're moving in reverse. Because the world's always moving, right? And if you're standing still, you're going in reverse. And God expects us to go forward. We have to go forward in our life. If you look in Exodus, when the children of Israel would come to the Red Sea and their backs were against the wall, so to speak, and Pharaoh and his army had marched up to their backs and the people were crying out in fear, and Moses was exercising some faith. This is what God said to them and what Moses said. Exodus 14, verse number 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go what? Forward. How do you overcome fear? By going forward. You have to keep it moving. And that's how it is in life. That's how it is in relationships. That's how it is in the ministry. You say, do we have setbacks in the ministry? Of course you do. Do you have setbacks in life? Of course you do. But what is the thing that God commands to do? Keep going. Move forward. And again, I was preaching at the Preacher's Fellowship, and I was illustrating in the ministry that when you receive blows and things go wrong and things happen to you, you know. If you've ever been in a street fight, and I've been in a street fight or two, and when you get knocked down in a street fight, you know what you have to do instantly if you're going to live? You have to jump back up, and you have to keep fighting. And if you don't, you will be beaten to death. That's what happens in a street fight. And if you lay down, then nothing good comes of that. And I've been in a few fights where, you know, I got wrestled to the ground. And remember, I'm not a big man, I'm a little man. And when they got me down on the ground, I realized right away, if we stay on the ground, I'm going to get beat to death. And so I thought to myself, you got to get up off the ground. You got to get up off the ground. Whatever you got to do, you got to get up off the ground. I got up off the ground, I punched the guy in the nose, right? And he said, what'd you do? I said, you got to get up. You got to get moving. You can't just lay there on the ground. One time I was fighting with a guy, and I got the best of him. He just laid there and curled up a ball while I kicked him. And thank God my sister came along and saw what we were doing, and it brought me to my senses. Otherwise, I might have killed him. But if he'd have got up and not laid on the ground, he wouldn't have took the beating that he got. And see, when the devil's after us, the worst thing we can do is lay down and quit and stop doing anything. Because what's he going to do? He's going to beat you to death. The ideal is to keep moving and keep going forward. I said, you know, in boxing, when the guys box, what do? If you just lay there in the corner and let a guy beat you to death, you'll get beat. You got to get out of the corner. You got to keep moving. You got to move around. You know. And so it is in the Lord's work. So it is in life. When we get beat down and bad things happen and my goodness, you lose your job, the doctor calls and said you've got this terrible thing going on, and I mean, my goodness, a family member dies and you're under it, are you not? But what do? Do you just lay in bed and suck on your thumb, or you keep going? You got to get up and you got to keep going. You keep going in life. And so it is in God's work. And when we have setbacks and we have disappointments, hey, you keep going forward by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's kind of the crux of it. And God expects us to do that. You know, this idea of continuing to go forward. If God's called you to do something, then what do you got to do? You got to go forward. It doesn't matter what it is in life. And, you know, I found this. Most of the time when God asks you to do things, it never looks good. That's the truth. It never looks good when God asks you to do certain things. Will you look at me in the book of Ecclesiastes? And I love the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. I preached several messages out of this chapter. But I love what it says here. And it says in verse number 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for thou knowest not evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where it falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now there it is, right? If you're always looking at the circumstances and how it looks, you'll never do anything for God. Because most of the time it doesn't look good. And I have learned this. When everything looks good, get ready to hold on to your hat because everything's getting ready to fall apart. That's the God's honest truth. When it looks good is when you're in the most danger. When things look bad and it looks hard and it looks difficult, that is when God shows himself the strongest. It didn't look good when Pharaoh's army was behind Israel. It didn't look good when they saw the giants up there in Canaan land and the Anakins and the sons of the giants. It didn't look good when they saw the high walled cities and all those kind of things. But I'll tell you what, it was God was fixing to do a great work. When he brought down the walls of Jericho and showed them that their fears were unfounded, wasn't the children of Israel afraid of the high walls? I mean, the city of Jericho, they could ride 6 chariots side by side around the walls of Jericho. They were that thick. They were that strong. They were that fortified. And yet, after they marched around the city 7 times and shouted, the Lord brought down the high walls of the city of Jericho. And what was God showing himself? He was showing himself faithful. And God said to Joshua, move forward. Cross this Jordan and move forward and move into the promised land. What do we have to do as Christians? We have to give up our fear and by faith do what? Move forward. He said, but I'm so afraid of getting involved. I'm so afraid of the responsibility. I'm so afraid of what God might require. Well, that's the point at which we have to give these things to God and allow God to do it. Because you know what? We cannot do anything in our own power and strength. But with God, all things are possible, right? And God is the one who enables us to go forward. It was God that divided the Red Sea. It was God that brought down the tall walls of Jericho. It was God that delivered the children of Israel. And it's God who delivers us. But what do we have to have a little? Have a little faith. Have faith in God. Hey, the victory is ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I know it's the resurrection chapter, but 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of chapter number 15, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have the victory, and the victory is ours, but how do you claim the victory? By moving forward in faith. The last thing tonight is simply this. If you look back in our text in Exodus chapter number 31, notice verse number 8 and what the Lord said to him. He said, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Can I tell you, the Lord's not going to fail, and the Lord's not going to forsake. Thank God for that. He hadn't failed them yet, and He didn't fail them when they came out of Egypt. They did cross the wilderness. He did allow them to enter the promised land, and God had never failed them to this time. I don't know about you. I can say God's never failed me. Now, I can be honest, I have failed God so many times it's not funny. But God has never failed me. And you think what God has brought us from to where we are today. And you think that God, that we ought to thank God that He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll bring it to a close here. But Hebrews 13, I told you I wouldn't be long. Hebrews 13 and in verse number 5 and 6. And, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord's always there. And sometimes, you know, times do get difficult. But God hasn't forsaken us. Hebrews 13, He says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hey, we don't have to be afraid. God is there. And if God's walking at your side, I can tell you right now, it's going to be all right. Does that mean you're not going to have any problems? No. Does that mean you're not going to have disappointments? No. Does that mean you're not going to have trouble? No. Does that mean people aren't going to say bad things about you? For God's sake, no. People are people. But God's going to be with you. God is going to be with you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it." I know that's talking about temptation, but I'm telling you right now, God's always going to be there. And no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the problem, no matter what the situation, if God be for us, what's the Bible says? Who can be against us? Our confidence has got to be in the Lord. So He says, fear not. Have a little faith, because I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. Boy, if we could just get those things down into our Christian life and apply them in our everyday living for Jesus and move forward, no matter where you are, no matter where we were last year, what do we want to do? We want to move forward. No matter where we were yesterday, what do we want to do? We want to move forward in our Christian life. I feel sorry for those who are always going backward. There's no reverse in God's economy. There's only forward. And God expects us to do what? Go forward. What did He tell the nation of Israel? I don't ever want you going back to Egypt. No reverse. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what God expects us to always be doing? Going forward. If you're not going forward, you're out of the will of God. And if you're not going forward, then you're heading for certain disaster in your life.